In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. So I have a question for you. Has it ever happened to you that God failed to live up to your expectations? That God somehow let you down from what you wanted, from what you were expecting, from what you thought God would be like? Now, if you find even this question irreverent, you might also find a good chunk of the book of Psalms irreverent. But if you've been able to relate to this question at some point, or maybe at many points in your life, it might comfort you to know that you're not alone. These thoughts came to a pretty important fella named Thomas, and we'll get to him in just a moment. But first, let's look how it happens that God doesn't live up to one's expectations. Think back to a younger part of your life. Maybe you spend childhood thinking of God in a certain way, often almost a magical way. He's the great gift giver in the sky. You might have this concept in your mind as you grow that God will answer your prayers, reward your good deeds, recognize your piety, and that God will respond with certain blessings and specific protection from harm. And for a while, it might seem to even work. I pray, I go to church, more or less I behave, and I experience the bountiful blessings in life which come from God. But then the day comes when God doesn't live up to his end of the bargain. You do everything you're supposed to do, but Grandpa still gets cancer. You do everything you're supposed to do, but someone is repeatedly cruel to you, or you are betrayed by a friend or a true love, or you don't get the class or the job or the home that you had your heart set on, or a person that you consider wicked continues to succeed. So maybe then you ramp up. You pray harder, you go to church more, but still, you end up let down. Maybe once or twice you'll even accept it, saying, God's will be done, I'm going to suck it up. But eventually, getting let down enough times begins to challenge your faith. It begins to challenge your dedication, and it begins to challenge your understanding, until finally, a person might ask themselves, why isn't God holding up his end? And on a particularly challenging day, you might even think, maybe this God I believe in isn't really up there. Maybe this God doesn't really exist. Now, if you'll give me a minute, together we will see that this is the wisest and truest conclusion you could possibly come to in that moment. Give me a minute. If there is one constant throughout the Gospels, throughout the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, it's this. Jesus did not live up to anyone's expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to be. Nobody's. Some wanted a military leader. Some wanted a politician. Some wanted a moralist. Some wanted a Candyman healer that would fill their lives with comfort and ease. And still others wanted a prosecutor that would execute vengeance on my enemies, on those sinners. Nobody was expecting a Messiah that was going to be humble and gentle and all-loving. Nobody was expecting a Messiah that was going to be conciliatory and forgiving and patient and soft-hearted and embracing. And certainly nobody was expecting a Messiah that was going to be persecuted or crucified. That's not the Messiah anyone was expecting. And for many, this failure to live up to expectations was insurmountable. This was not the Messiah they expected, and it was easier to not believe than to change expectations. But for some, discovering that the God of one's old expectations doesn't exist is precisely the wisdom needed to open the heart to the God that actually does exist. Today in the church, we celebrate the Holy Apostle Thomas, popularly, unfairly known as Doubting Thomas. It's unfair because all the disciples, if you read the Gospels, all the other disciples, every last one of them doubted. They doubted the resurrection until they themselves had seen Jesus. All of them doubted. A crucified, dead, buried Messiah did not fit any of their expectations, and not one of them believed Mary Magdalene's news at first, not until they had seen for themselves. Thomas, of course, gets singled out because he was the last, and because we get to hear more of his story. And a crucified and buried Messiah didn't fulfill Thomas's preconceived notions of the Christ. But in his season of doubt, Thomas doesn't say, "I give up altogether." That's not what he says. He doesn't say, "I'm never going to believe again no matter what." He doesn't say that either. What does Thomas say? He says, "If I see, I will believe. If I touch, I will believe." And see and touch what? And this is particularly important. See and touch what? The marks of the crucifixion. He needs to see the marks of the crucifixion. In other words, the part of the story that made no sense to him was the part that he had to see in order to believe. The crucified Messiah didn't fit his expectations, and therefore the marks of the crucifixion were what he had to figure out and see and even touch. And when Jesus appears and shows Thomas these marks of crucifixion, Thomas does the hardest thing a person can ever do in their entire life, which is to admit he was mistaken and change his mind. I guarantee there is nothing harder in life than to admit I was mistaken of a long-held belief and change my mind. When Jesus failed to live up to Thomas's expectations, Thomas throws out the old ones and starts fresh. He had been believing in a fantasy Messiah, and now he can believe in the real one. And this will take us back to the times that we ourselves have our own faith crisis. The times God doesn't meet my expectations. The time you get to the point where you think, maybe this God doesn't really exist. And when I said that was a wise thought, it's because we too often create a fantasy in our mind of what God should be like. And then, of course, that God doesn't actually exist. And remember when God told Moses his name, right? God says his name is I Am Who I Am. God's name isn't I Am Who You Wish I Was. God's name isn't I Am Who You Want Me To Be. God is who he is. And if the real God who is doesn't live up to my expectations, I'm well to get rid of my false image altogether. Because then I open my heart, and then I open my soul to the God who does exist. The God who is. The existing one. The great I Am Who I Am. A God who is persecuted and crucified. A God who is soft-hearted and embracing and life-giving, a God who is conciliatory and forgiving and patient, a God who is humble and gentle and all-loving, a God who then also expects his followers to be the same. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.